Pleasure to be up here with my brother Kevin this night. I know Kevin has this desire to bring the Word of God to us this night, whatever has been placed on his heart, and I ask that you might give him a smile, give him a prayer in your heart, and follow along with what has to be said this night, that we might take those things that God has given him, that we might apply him and be better people, you know. And so, you know, Kevin is very, has that desire this night, I know. And he's, so I want to introduce priest Kevin McGee.
So when Christ was going up to pray in the garden before his crucifixion, and he told his disciples to stay and wait and pray, and he found them sleeping, and then he came back and he said at one point, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I feel like that tonight. Spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I decided a couple weeks ago, it's time to paint the house. So I've been working on my house, and every spare minute I've been out painting. And I decided when I got home from church today, I'm gonna do a little touching up. And I had my ladder out on the front porch, and I was at the top of my ladder, and I didn't position it well, and I was about to the top of this light right here, and the ladder gave way. It went one way, and I went another, down on the concrete, And explaining it to Liv as I was laying on the living room floor moaning, it went about as good as you could go, because if I fell like this, I feel like I probably would have hit my head. I probably would have broken my wrist. If I fell backwards, I'm sure I would have had a concussion. Anna was right inside. She heard me hit, and she heard me moaning on the ground. And I really thought that I broke my wrist, and I was ready to have one of the kids text David and apologize. And then I was laying there, and I was like, did I hit my head? And I couldn't, and I feel kind of floaty right now. So this is going to be brief, if you understand. If Grandma was here, she would say, that's what you get for doing any kind of work on Sunday. I feel like I've earned that by climbing up that ladder to begin with, but it hurts. And I'm almost 40, so I know it's going to hurt even more tomorrow. So getting to my sermon, in my sermon at reunion, I mentioned that I'm trying to keep things simple in my own life. And as I approach an opportunity to preach, I'm trying to keep things simple. And when I think about our responsibility to the Lord and our responsibility in this life and our stewardship of the opportunities that he's given us and the calling that each of us have, that, you know, in a way to keep it simple is I just need to ask myself, what does God want from me? And when I was thinking about that and preparing for this sermon, the scriptures kind of led me to a sermon that I wanted, and I didn't really know at the time that I thought, you know, that I was, these two scriptures came to mind, where I was going to go. And I have two pages of notes, and I usually have about nine, so I don't really know where the sermon is going to go either. This could be, you know, 15 minutes, but I want to start by reading in Luke, the 7th chapter. And I do have a lot of scriptures. It would be nice if you're able to follow along, but if not, that's fine too. I will try to read slowly and clearly. But Luke, the 7th chapter, and I'm going to start with the 36th verse. I don't have a lot of comments about these first two scriptures that I'm going to read until I read them, and hopefully you'll see where I'm going with this. So Luke 7, 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain, I'm glad it's not me. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I had entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I want you to turn to Mark. And I've got a few references for Mark, and I realize in about 15 years since I've been ordained, I don't think that I've used many scriptures from Mark, but I have a couple tonight. And this one is from Mark, the 14th chapter. So if you turn to Mark 14, I want to read, starting with the first verse. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. I'm not ready to comment on these, but you see that there's, and I believe that these are two separate incidents, and I want to, before I have any comments on them, I want you to turn also to the book of James. And this leads into the comments that I have, the point of my sermon, the theme, my brief sermon tonight is James says in the first chapter, James 1, starting with the 22nd verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. that word liberty, we mentioned that in Sunday school today, in Galatians, the perfect law of liberty. And so when I think of liberty, I think of the word freedom. I think of what we have in this country, but I think more when it has to do with the scriptures, the liberty that Christ has given us by his own sacrifice. And in Galatians, it tells us to stand fast. Stand fast in that liberty and to not be entangled with the yoke of bondage again. And so I'd ask that freedom, that liberty to do what? The liberty that we have to serve God. The liberty that we have, as it says here in James, to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. To be like the two women in these previous passages that I read, to perform a good work. They both performed a simple but good work for the Lord. And they did it out of the goodness of their heart. And they did it with charity in their heart. And that was an example of pure religion, of being undefiled before God, what they did, their act of service for the Lord. In Mark, in the passage that I read, Christ said, "Ye have the poor with you always, but me ye have not always." And so as we sit here tonight, I know that the Christ Spirit is here with us, but Christ physically is not here with us. And I'd ask you, if he was, what would you do? Would you be like those two women? Would you be willing to pour out? The reason that those men, and Judas especially, murmured within themselves is because the ointment that she anointed the Lord with, when I read the commentary and how accurate it is, what she used there was the equivalent of what would be like a year's worth of her own pay. And so she took this before the Lord and anointed his feet and anointed him with a year's worth of her hard work. And so when I think about, yeah, if the Lord walked in, I'd be willing to do that in a second. This is the Son of God. Is there anything that I wouldn't do? Is there anything that you wouldn't do? But we don't have him here. We don't have him here in the flesh to anoint his head and anoint his feet and to wash his feet with our tears. But I want to make a point. And the point that I want to make is in first book of Mosiah, first chapter of Mosiah, on page 212, actually starting with verse 211, page 211, King Benjamin's proclamation to his people as he's ready to go the way of all the earth. Mosiah 1, starting with the 40th verse. "I have not commanded you to come up hither, that you should fear me, or that you should think that I, of myself, am more than a mortal man. But I am like as yourselves, subject to all manner of infirmities in body and mind. Yet, as I have been chosen by this people and was consecrated by my Father and was suffered by the hand of the Lord, that I should be a ruler and a king over this people, and have been kept and preserved by his matchless power to serve thee with all the might, mind, and strength which the Lord hath granted unto me. I say unto you that as I have been suffered to spend my days in your service, even up to this time, and have not sought gold, nor silver, nor any manner of riches of you, neither have I suffered that ye should be confined in dungeons, nor that ye should make slaves of one of another, or that ye should murder or plunder or steal or commit adultery. Or even I have not suffered that ye should commit any manner of wickedness, and have taught you that ye should keep the commandments of the Lord in all things which he hath commanded you. And even I myself have labored with mine own hands that I might serve you, that ye should not be laden with taxes, that there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And all these things which I have spoken, ye yourselves are witnesses this day. Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast. Neither do I tell these things that thereby I might accuse you. But I tell you these things that ye may know that I can answer a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you that because I said unto you that I have spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king. And if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had ye not ought to labor to serve one another? God wants us to act. He wants us to be doers of the word. He wants us to not just hear these words and they make us feel good about ourselves and we believe them and we go on our way and we wait until next week and we come back and we hear the next sermon. He wants us to act. He wants us to be doers of the word. And like King Benjamin tells us here, we don't have God physically in our presence, but we have each other. And we have a field that is ripe out there to serve. And when we are in their service, we are in the service of our God, like he is here. In Mark 12, I have a lot of scriptures, and I know that gets tiresome turning, but I just feel like, and I willed it down too, as I was writing with my chicken claw grip earlier. I whittled my scriptures down, and I want to turn to Mark. So I apologize for all the reading I'm going to do, but I feel like these are all what the Lord wanted me to read. Mark 12 and the 28th verse. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Reading back what King Benjamin said in the 53rd verse, "I say unto you that if you should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that you may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say that if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land." He wants us to keep his commandments. And as I just read in the 12th chapter of Mark, what are the two greatest commandments? We know them. You know them. One, to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. But two, that's like unto it, that he said is the great, that these two are the greatest, they stand above all other commandments, is to love our neighbor as ourself. And he promises us, if we will do these commandments, even though we are unprofitable, we will profit in this land. We will be held up. We will be preserved. He will bless us if we answer those two greatest commandments. They stand above all others. So I look at my life, and I think, yes, I love the Lord. I can say that without a doubt. How much I am serving him is questionable day to day. But what is not questionable is how much I am serving my fellow man, my neighbor. Have I ever anointed anyone with oil? And I don't know what we want to use the modern equivalent of that to be. I don't know. But have I done anything that's on that level? Have you? Have you thought about it? Is it on your mind? Is it on your mind, how can I show my love to my neighbor like I love myself? I take care of my own needs. I think about what I want for myself and what I want to accomplish for myself each day and for my life. But do I think about how I can serve those around me? Do I think about how I can serve you? I mean, outside of preparing my sermon when I'm asked, what have I done for you? I want to do more. I want you to do more for me. God wants us to do more for each other. He wants us to act. He wants us to show our loves. He wants us to be doers of the word. And turn to James. In the second chapter of James, second chapter of James. I apologize for kind of frazzled. And this is in the middle of the faith versus works debate and argument that's made here. Starting with the 14th verse. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And I know that the greater point is that our faith is proven by our works. It's made evident by our works. But this example is a real example. There are people around us who are hungry, physically hungry, spiritually hungry. And have we reached out to their needs? Have we called them? Have we talked to them? Have we let them know, hey, I'm praying for you, but if there's anything else I can do, let me know. And be ready to be there for them. God wants us to be this people. He wants us to do these things. He wants us to act. And I'm going to keep repeating that. God wants us to act. And turn to Ephesians. The second chapter of Ephesians. I'm going to read the 8th through the 10th verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So is that an argument against what I'm saying? No, it's not. It's saying even though we perform those good works, ultimately it's still God's grace that save us. But it's the 10th verse that I want to point out. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. We are created unto good works. We are created to perform those good works. We are to rely on his grace to ultimately save us, but we are created to perform those works. As if he were here, as if that stranger that we perform that work for, we see Christ within that person. We see a need and we reach out to it because we are his workmanship. He left and he gave us his spirit, and we need to rely on that spirit every day to guide us and how to minister to those around us. Paul was a teacher and he was a mentor to those around him, to the men that traveled with him. He wrote so much of our New Testament, and two men in particular, and I want to read from letters that he wrote to them. He wrote two letters to Timothy, and I want to read out of the second letter that he wrote to him. It's aptly titled 2 Timothy, and I want to read from the 3rd chapter of that letter. Words of instruction, words of wisdom, helping to bring up this man to be a qualified servant of the Lord. And these are words to us, not just as ministry, but as followers of Jesus Christ, as members of this church. Starting with the 16th verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We use these scriptures to instruct us on how to perform those good works. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what this sermon is about. that as I look at those two women that anointed the feet of the Lord and gave so much of themselves, they were performing that good work. They were living proof of the Scriptures. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be living proof, to not just keep the knowledge within ourselves, but to live that knowledge by what we do. What's that quote? And I'm going to mess it up. Like, people will forget what you say. There's like is there a percentage in that? People will forget what you say, but they won't forget how you made them feel, but what you do. We have to do something. We have to act. He wrote another letter, and it's right after 2 Timothy. He wrote it to Titus. And in the second chapter of that letter that he wrote, starting with the 11th verse, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." I feel like we're good at it. I feel like this church is a good example. And I've grown up watching your example, and I am grateful for it. And I can say, without a doubt, I've seen this lived out. Within these walls and through you, I've seen this witness. But here's my question. Here's the question that we need to ask ourselves, and I need to start asking myself honestly every day. In the 14th and 15th verse, if we're doing this, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee." A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. Desiring that we would perform a good work every day, that we would be seeking the Lord and saying, "What can I do for you today? How can I act like Christ today? How can I minister and show your love to someone around me?" That's what makes us a peculiar people. I mean, don't you believe that? Is it just what we believe? Is it just our beliefs? Is it just that we have a Book of Mormon and people will mock us and look down on us and call us everything because of that belief? Is that the only thing that makes us a peculiar people? Because if so, we're falling short. It's the action. It's the works. It's a people zealous of good works. I want to be that. I want to grow into that. I have to stop waiting for opportunity to just fall in my lap and to seek it out, to go to the Lord and ask him for it. I'm going to read out of Matthew 25. Matthew 25, starting with the 31st verse. This is Christ speaking. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer them and saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and he took me not in, naked, and he clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and he visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I don't know if I'm a sheep or a goat. I don't know, and I want to know. And the only way for me to know is to act, is to be a doer of the word. The older I get, the more I realize that this life is about sacrifice. This life is about our own sacrifice. It's about our own effort. It's about our own actions. The scriptures tell us over and over that we are to be like Christ, don't they? They tell us to imitate him. That Christ himself said repeatedly, the things that ye have seen me do, do ye that also. And what did he do? Why did he come here? Came here to be a servant. We read about it when he washed his disciples' feet. And he dried them with his own robe. He came here to be a sacrifice. And he tells us, greater love hath no man than he who lays down his life for his brother. I don't know that any of us will ever be called to die for another, but we can give of our life. We can give of our probation, of our opportunity, of our substance. I love this scripture in Philippians, and I have to read it. In the second chapter, starting with the fourth verse. And you can just listen, it's fine. I'm almost done. I'm getting to the end. I'm just about to the end here. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that doesn't mean in a covetous way. It means to care for other people's needs like we care for our own. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God wants us to be humble and obedient unto sacrifice in our own life, sacrificing our own needs for the needs of others. Being willing to sacrifice our own security, coming out of our comfort zone, doing things that don't come natural. These things don't come natural to me. They just don't. And that's been an excuse that I have in my back pocket. And whenever I'm prodded or led to do something and it doesn't feel comfortable to me, I just pull that out and say, that's not me. That's not who I am. What did those men say about that one woman who anointed his head? She was a sinner. They were offended by her sin. She had no right to anoint the Lord's feet. Sin didn't hold her back. She knew she was a sinner, which was all the more need that she had to draw closer to him. The more we sin, the more need that we have to come closer to him. And the closer we come to him, the more we realize, I need more. It works both ways. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Sin should not hold us back. Our own uncomfortableness should not hold us back. When Christ was carrying that cross and they were cursing him and mocking him, he was not comfortable. But he didn't come to be comfortable, and he didn't call us to be comfortable. We have to act. We have to give of ourselves. We have to labor to serve others. He knows it's not easy. Which he doesn't just tell us to do it and trust that it's worth it. It feels good to do things for others, does it not? I mean, I believe that he teaches us so simply in our life. We have children, and to give to your children feels so good. I don't care about gifts anymore for myself. I love giving gifts to my kids. I love it. It's so gratifying. God bless us as that gives us that feeling. He blesses us with that feeling that when we reach out to someone, we give something that's important to us, of our own time and our own effort and our money or something that we tend to hold close. It feels good. He blesses us with that feeling. This is what I want us to do for each other. I don't want to read from Hebrews, and you don't have to turn there because it went longer than what I thought. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I want you to know the reference in case you want to read it. I hope you read it later. I hope someone who listens to this sermon on the recording reads this. And I want our local to do this. I know that we would be better if we were willing to do this. And I'm asking you to do this for me. And I'm telling you, I'm going to do this for you. And I want you to hold me to it. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I want to read that again. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We know the day is approaching. I need you to call me out. I need to call you out. God is calling us all out. He needs us to act. He needs us to sacrifice for him and for each other. The second part of when I was saying I'm keeping things simple was, you know, I said, what does God want me to do? And the second part is, what will God do for me? Because sometimes when it's not easy, sometimes that's the only thing that keeps me going and convinces me to do something, is what is God going to do for me? And Paul assured his brother Timothy in the 4th chapter, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and this is my closing scripture, and this is what we have to look forward to if we are doers of the word, because being a doer is how we endure. That is how we endure. It's not just playing it safe. It's not just holding ourselves up and waiting for the Lord to return. We need to be active. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That defines the day and age that we're living. It defines it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And this is the promise. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, I was reading in these letters to Timothy and to Titus happened this amount of time before Paul was martyred and before he died. He knew it was close. He knew. And this is the confidence that he had. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If we perform those works, we will love his appearing. We know that there will be a crown waiting for us. So my challenge is, stealing a challenge idea from David, my challenge is, find a way this week to serve someone. Find a way to serve someone. Show God's love by your actions. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. So he's given us our challenge. You know, are we pumped up? I think he pumped us up this night. And the Lord has blessed him. I know the Lord was speaking through him and giving him these things. And I'm will pray for you that all is well, you know. And I'm so glad he didn't call because we were, God spoke this night, and we have been blessed. Any announcements?